Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. As always, glad to have you with us here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. Honored to be the pulpit minister for the Arlington congregation. Hope you can come join us at any chance that you may have. Well, that's enough of the introductions. Let's get into Reading the Word, shall we? I mean, that is why we are here, after all, and a pleasant good morning to you. I want to begin a new study today. Take us a couple of weeks, Lord willing. That is our plan. We're going to be looking at the kings of Israel. You had Saul, you had David, and you had Solomon. Saul being the first, so we will study him first. In a lesson I've titled, Saul, From Humble to Horrible, or From Meek to Monstrosity. Let's set the scene, shall we? Open your Old Testament with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel, and we will begin there in the first chapter. Just to set our scene, God's people have been in a period of judges. They have been judging, and the judges period was very cyclic in nature. By that I mean, at the top of the circle, if you will, God's people are faithful. God's people would fall away as you move around the circle, and they'd get to the bottom where the enemies are attacking them because they've fallen away from God, so God permits this. In this process, they cry out to God, we're sorry, Lord, please save us. God would raise up a judge from among them. The judge, as they make their way back up the circle, would defeat all their enemies, fix all their problems. Then the people would say, well, since we're at the top of the circle, we're faithful to God, then the judge would die out, and they'd fall away, and they'd redo this cyclic, if you will, this cycle. And so we have about 450 years of the book of Judges. Our last judge is Samuel. He's introduced in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. His mother Hannah had prayed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, reading from the King James, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me. Do not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child. I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. See, Hannah had prayed for him. Eli answered, verse 17, Go in peace. The God of Israel will grant thee thy petition thou have asked of him. She said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, did eat. Her countenance was no more sad. Verse 20, It came to pass, after the time was come, Hannah had conceived, she bare a son, called his name Samuel. Why? Because I have asked him of the Lord. So she prays for Samuel. She raises Samuel until he's able to be weaned. He is still a young man, a young person. And in chapter 1, verse 28, she said, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped God there. See, she drops him off, and then he becomes Eli's. Eli becomes his apprentice. Eli, the second to last of the judges. Eli also serving as the high priest. Chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, we see Samuel. He is being called to be a prophet. And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered and said, Speak, for thy servant heareth. The Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. God is calling him to be a prophet. So he is going to be the last judge, and he also is going to serve as God's prophet. Look in chapter 8 and verse 6 of 1 Samuel. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king for to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Notice, Samuel on his own accord did not request a king. God, the people requested a king. Why? They want to be like the nations round about them, the nations that were failing, the nations that were in sin, the nations that were being defeated for doing evil. They say, we want to be just like them. He prays to God, and God says, grant them what they want, but warn them that this king, he will steal their land and sell their children. And they say, oh, no, he won't, but God truly does know all. But that's getting ahead of ourselves. So, as we set the scene for Saul, from humble to horrible, or from meek to monstrosity, we see first and foremost, Saul enters the scene. Join with me in 1 Samuel 9 and verse 2. We see in verse 1, there's a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, and he was a mighty man of power. Now he had a son, verse 2, whose name was Saul, S-A-U-L, the Old Testament Saul. New Testament will become Paul the Apostle. Saul was a choice young man and a goodly young man. There was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. We see his appearance. He is goodly. He's a good-looking man. They say there is none better for his charitable deeds and the actions that he does. None is better than Saul, and he's a head and shoulders taller than anyone else. So, not only is he good-looking, but it helps because he stands out in a crowd. Everyone will be able to see Saul. But notice this, by providence, verse 3, the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the donkeys." Not an accident, but by providence. What do I mean? Go down to verse 6. They're told to go see a seer, S-E-E-R, which would be a prophet, but they called them seers then. He said, "Behold, now there's a man in the city, a man of God. He is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way and what way we should go." They're told to go see him, and everything that this seer says will come to pass. Well, who is the seer? Well, that would be Saul, or Samuel. Look in verse 17 of 1 Samuel 9, if you will. "Samuel saw Saul." It's fun to say. "Samuel saw Saul, and the Lord said unto him, Behold, the man of whom I spake of, this same shall reign over my people." See, God had this planned. These donkeys of Saul's father, they purposely got loose. God allowed that to happen. So Saul would go off and would be told to find a seer and inquire of that seer. In the process, God had been talking to Samuel and says, "I'm going to have somebody come to you, and I will identify who I want to be the next king." Those Israelites, they're going to find him pleasing. But God says, "Behold, this is the man. His name is Saul, and he will be the king." We need to pause reading the word just a second. I want to give you some information about the Arlington congregation, where I'm honored to be the minister. And we'll be right back. Stick around, because we're going to see how humble Saul starts out here in a second on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Welcome back once again to Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. You want to catch any of the other programs in this series? They're all on my website, thejustinreedshow.com, thejustinreedshow.com, thejustinreedshow.com. They're on the homepage. Click on the button that says Reading the Word. Take you right to where we're at. We're talking about Saul, how he went from humble to horrible, or how he went from meek to monstrosity. Look how humble Saul is in 1 Samuel 9 and 21. "Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou to me?" See, he says, "I'm the lowest of the low. Why are you speaking to me?" Which is ironic. He's of the lowest of the low, yet he's the tallest there is. He's a head and shoulders above all around him. Samuel, take him in. Verse 24, "Treat him like royalty." And the cook took up the shoulder, and that which was upon it, set it before Saul. Samuel said, "Behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat, for unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people." So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. He is treated like royalty. Chapter 10, verse 1, "Samuel took a vial of oil, poured it upon his head," the head of Saul, "and kissed him, and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? He is anointed." And notice, he will also be appointed. Chapter 10, verse 17 following. "And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said to the children of Israel, Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all the kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. But ye have said to him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes, by your thousands. When Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And which caused the tribe, when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Machri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he had hid himself among the stuff. See, God knows where he is the whole time. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than all the people from his shoulders upward. Samuel said unto the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people? And the Lord and the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. So he is anointed by Samuel. He is appointed to be the king of Israel. So he enters the scene. Everything would seem to be all right. He's very humble at this point. He's very meek, but we'll see. He will turn horrible, and he will become a monstrosity. Notice now as we transition how Saul has one of his first things. He has to destroy the Ammonites, or the children of Ammon, A-M-M-O-N. 1 Samuel 11:4, he hears about it. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices, and they wept. See, they hear about this destruction, but we see God is with Saul. Verse 6, the Spirit of God came upon Saul. When he heard those things, his anger was kindled greatly. He gets upset. God is allowing him to know about this. You know, there's a great sense of comfort today for us Christians, knowing that God is with us through his word, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We find that in the Hebrew epistle, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Notice verse 7. Saul will give an example of anyone. He says, he took a yoke of oxen, hewed them in pieces, and set them throughout the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people. They came out with one consent. He says, I'm going to rip you apart, just like I've done this yoke of oxen here. So what's going to happen is fear is going to possess all the people. See, Saul is attempting to lead the people in a God-fearing manner. But don't be too quick to assume. You know, it's often been said, jumping to conclusions is a poor form of exercise. We'll say that again. Jumping to conclusions is a poor form of exercise. Notice here that God's preparing his army. Verse 8, 1 Samuel 11. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel, 300,000 and 30,000 men of Judah. Now, the Nashville census, according to 2010, those are the numbers that I had at the time of this recording, were 654,610 people live in the city limits of Nashville, meaning half of that, 327,305. So that's basically the combination of both Israel and Judah. Lebanon was about 30,262 people as well, just to give you a size comparison. And they said unto the messengers that came, verse 9, Thus shall ye say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, Tomorrow, by that time, the sun shall be hot. Ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed to the members of Jabesh, and they were glad. A promised deliverance is coming. This provokes gladness. This is great news. It's going to be going into a battle. You know, it's great when you're going into a battle, etc., to a game, knowing that you've already won it before you even get there. Notice with me, before our time escapes us, verse 11. And so it was on the morrow, Saul sent the people in three companies. They came to the midst of the host of the morning watch, slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass, they which remained were scattered. No, two of them were not left together. Not only were they killed in the heat of the day, which would catch the army off guard, the other people were scattered so much that not even two people are left together. God knows what he's doing. Notice here the aftermath, verses 12 through 15. The people said unto Samuel, Who is he that said, Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men, that we may put them to death. Saul said, There shall not be a man put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Then said Samuel to the people, Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. All the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed sacrifices of a peace offering before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. We see the leader would have to traditionally prove himself in battle, and Saul has done it. So Saul is putting his trust in God. We would do well to do the same. But we have to pause our study here until the next time. May the good Lord bless you, and may he keep you. Please continue to listen. Thank you for praying.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.